So this is the spiritual gift session, and what it's about is just a lot of information. The truth about God's Holy Spirit, His spiritual gifts, and why He gives spiritual gifts to us. A spiritual gift is a divine gift of supernatural ability for service in and the edification of or building up of Christ's body, the church. There was a study done, a Barna study, and it said that 69% of churchgoers have heard of spiritual gifts but don't know their spiritual gift. That's over half of the body of Christ. How do we have a functioning church if we don't know about these things? So this is super important. So that's why we decided to have these sessions, because of the importance of the Holy Spirit, because of the importance of spiritual gifts, so that we can see how the gifting is done, so that we can have effective ministries, because we all have ministry in our lives. Everybody needs this. And we are all valuable to God's family. We all have a place, and God has a plan for us, a way that we will serve, a place that only we can hold in the family of God. So you're very important to God's family. And your gifting is very important to God's family. The gifts.
Did everybody get a handout? Anybody not have one? They're right there.
Oh, Shirley.
But she gave us the mic, so it's okay.
All right. So gifts are not to be confused with the fruits of the Spirit, okay? So the fruits of the Spirit are listed in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. And those are love, joy, peace, patience or long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruits of the Spirit are character traits. They're expected outcomes of our Christian personality, who we are. It's our maturity and our holiness showing. The spiritual fruits help define what a Christian is, and the spiritual gifts help define what a Christian does. We all need to know what the Word of God says about these things so that we can be more mature. Now, we're going to look a lot in 1 Corinthians 12, so you might want to move there now. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Surprisingly enough, it's titled Spiritual Gifts. The spiritual fruits define what a Christian is, and the spiritual gifts define what a Christian does. So in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 3, it reads, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So it is the Holy Spirit who infuses us with faith initially. He seals us that day we say, oh, I see that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He died for me." The Word just said to us, do not be ignorant of your spiritual gifts. That's important, girls. Therefore, we need to dig into the Word and see what it says about gifts. And all the answers are here in the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us, all Scripture is profitable for instruction in righteousness. God will cover this topic completely. If we just dig and pray, He will absolutely meet us and show us and nurture us and guide us through this. Paul wrote to the believers in Corinth, and it's a message to us today. Stay with 1 Corinthians 12, because we're going to go there again, I promise. 1 Corinthians 1, 4 through 8, though, it says, I always thank God for you because of His grace given to you in Jesus Christ. For in Him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, do not lack any spiritual gifts as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. That's to all of us as well. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. His Holy Spirit in us will do all the work. So we know now that there are spiritual gifts and they're a gift given to us, that we are not to be ignorant about them. We're to dig and find out about these things. That each believer will not lack any spiritual gifting as we wait on the Lord Jesus Christ. He will give you giftings. We are to study the Word and be fully instructed in those gifts so that we never, ever, ever, never abuse those gifts and hurt God's church, because He loves His people. It will become evident to us that our gifting and how, what our gifting is and how to serve the body with that gifting. It is a serving kind of thing. So in this, I'm going to go over the foundational scriptures, the basic knowledge of this. And then Mary's going to take us through some very important defining terms regarding the power of the Holy Spirit. And then LaVon's going to take us through some personal testimony, scripture, and dispel some misconceptions, things that we may be thinking when we're seeking the gifts. And that's really important, okay? So, we're going to go over a gift, a list of the gifts and descriptions as well. You have that in your handout. Do you see that? All those gifts. And our hope is that this is a super tool, okay? We've comprised all these together and put them in a condensed form. This is like Cliff Notes, though. So I don't want you to just take that and run. I want you to take that home or this weekend and study it. Dig into the Word of God. Pray about each one. Is this it, Lord? Is this how you want me to serve the body? And you'll know. He'll show you. So this is an important, extensive list with all the references. Go there and really study it. Because what we need to see is that the spiritual gifting for us is, once we know what it is our responsibility then to develop the gift. We have to use it. And it may sound silly, because a gift is something you want to open and use, right? But oftentimes a spiritual gifting is something that we're suddenly like, well, I don't do that. Because it's not a natural talent sometimes. It's a spiritual gift. It's something extraordinary for you to do. And that's what's cool about it, is God takes us on a full-on adventure in that. So you don't want to realize your gift and then go, oh, thank you very much, I'm going to leave it there. Because God showed you that gift for the very reason of using it in the body, because the body needs it. He's planted you there for you to use that gift, because you're important to Him. The gifting that we get is for the common good. It's not for personal edification. And oftentimes, I've seen in some experiences in the past where the spiritual gifting is of personal edification. And that is an abuse of God's gifting. It is not to point to me. It is to serve. Because if we were all doing that, can you imagine what God's body would be like? This giant light beacon in the world. And everybody would be looking and going, man, look how those people work together. I want some of that. And that's why, if we all really get to this, can you imagine we rock the world?
Amen.
Thank you, sister. So, what I want to do is read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11 out loud, because they are powerful stuff.
1 Corinthians
12, 1 through 11. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. That's how important the Holy Spirit is. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. God is working here. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Underline that, highlight it, circle it, star it. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues, which is very important. Those two gifts work together. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Underline that and star it. So, from this selection of scripture, these are some of the things that we have learned. There are different kinds of gifts, but it is the same Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, giving the gift. These are not natural talents. They are extraordinary, and they are from the Holy Spirit. They are empowered workings in us, and we are fully dependent on God to do that work in us. We can't drum it up. It's not ours to drum up. It's his to put in us and pour through us. The spiritual gifts are reserved exclusively for believers because they are working of the Holy Spirit, and only believers have that Holy Spirit. They are the ones who have said, yes, come into me. There are different kinds of gifts and service, but the same Spirit working in us. And that's important because we will all work like a team. It will all be in sync. It will all be complementary. We will all be loving one another in that. The gifts are given for the common good. To each one, our gifting is not a brownie button to be displayed. It is an important equipping to serve our Christ in the church for the greater good. So the world can go, hey, that is something special. And we are each given at least one gift, if not more, to effectively serve and glorify God. And God chooses when, where, and what. I've also been in places where, what kind of gift would you like?
Oh.
And it's like the buffet line. No. It's not the buffet line of spiritual gifts. It is, Father God, what do you have for me? How can I serve you and serve the body? It is a pure-heartedness. It's not a me, myself, and I kind of thing. The Holy Spirit determines what gifts that are in each one of us. And it is according to his will. And that's a toughie. If you're feisty like me, that can be a tough one. Because there may be certain gifts that you go, wow. You see somebody exercising that gift, you go, wow, I want that one. And God's going, oh, sorry. But again, if we say yes to our Heavenly Father, it's a matter of trust. I believe, God, that what you have for me is best for me. It's also best for the whole family. 1 Corinthians 12:18 is a leap from 11 and says, God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. The Holy Spirit determines it, and our job is to receive it, develop it. It is some just obedience, just outright obedience. And I think that's important because if we could do the buffet line, we're fickle. So 1 week it's this, next week it's that. Oh, that's pretty, let's do that. We're fickle. We can trust him to be steady and stable and know the needs around us. He is tuned into every single heart all the time. Also, we would be tainted by moments of comparison. It's what we do. And we have to get our minds focused on him and not what's around us, not comparing. So it's important that God does the choosing. Paul addresses this issue and he says in 1 Corinthians 12:14-17, basically, the body is not one member, but many. If the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body, it is not for this reason any part of the body is less. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? All the parts are important. And Paul's saying, all for one and one for all. If you're on a baseball team, if you have all pitchers, what happens when the ball goes out in the outfield? It's not a very effective plan. Well, that's God's plan. The gifts is everybody has an important part to play the game. We have to know what our part is. It's a team effort, and we all work together. God has given gifts for specific purposes. And it's not a once and for all. There are times when there's a healing, or there's a moment of faith needed, or there's a word needed, and you're the willing one. You're tapping in. God, what does this person need? And God gives. He answers in that moment. But you don't say from that very day on, oh yeah, I got this gift. It was God's timing in that moment. And yes, you may have it forever, or he may just gift it when it's needed, because God gets to choose. He gets to choose. And that's what's exciting about it. I just want to tell you about this thing that Corrie Ten Boom says. Remember those gloves the girls had last night, the glowing gloves? Well, picture that. And Corrie Ten Boom says this: I have a glove here on my hand. The glove cannot do anything by itself, but when my hand is in it, it can do many things. True, it is not the glove, but my hand in the glove that acts. We are gloves. It is the Holy Spirit in us who is the hand, who does the job. We have to make room for the hand so that every finger is Isn't that beautiful? It's a great picture. So now Mary is going to address the how of the spiritual gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit.
Hi. I've got to get to my page here. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, first of all, we really want people to understand that when a person becomes a believer, he is also sealed with the Holy Spirit. So there is plenty of opportunity for God to display that in a person's life. In Ephesians 1:13, it says, "You also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit." Also in 4:30, it just refers to it, in Ephesians 4:30, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, which whom you were sealed at the day of redemption." So we have the Holy Spirit. And that's something that we really pray that people have confidence, that the Holy Spirit resides in you. As you came to Christ, you're a believer, and you received the Holy Spirit at that time. A desire to seek a closer walk with the Lord often opens a person's heart to allow the Holy Spirit to be manifested. So there comes a time as a new believer, or you've walked with the Lord for a while, that you're asking for the Holy Spirit to be evident in our lives. And that's where praying about the gifts that God desires for us is an important part. Knowing the Holy Spirit personally, realizing that he's a person in the Godhead, and he wants to be revealed to us. Jesus promised to send him to us in John 14 as our advocate, as the Spirit of truth. And that we will do more for Christ with the Holy Spirit than Christ did, because Christ had to leave and we're still here. So that's a huge promise. He's got big plans for us. Let's see. "Now to each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." Sharon mentioned that. And so once again, when we're praying about the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit is revealed or manifested in our life, it's all about God's good. It's not about us personally. Sometimes people will become a little bit confused just about how the Holy Spirit is supposed to be manifested, the focus on some of the gifts like the gift of tongues or prophecy or knowledge, but the other gifts are so important because altogether it makes up the body. At the point of conversion, the Spirit can be easily seen or manifested in a person. As Peter spoke to Cornelius, a Gentile, in his household, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began to praise God and speak in tongues. Tongues is not the focus, but the anointing of the Holy Spirit as he chooses, and tongues were just a sign. It does say that we would rather have prophecy than tongues, just because prophecy would bless all of you, but tongues would be more personal if I did not have interpretation, so I would need to keep that to myself. Sharon and you're going to talk more about the individual gifts, or are you going to go over that sheet?
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit, so we can talk a little more about that. But that's just one of the areas we get tripped up on sometimes on the filling of the Holy Spirit, there's been certain expectations. If you receive the Holy Spirit, then you receive the gift of tongues. So we wouldn't want people to think that's the bottom line. It's not necessarily true. But the Word says everyone gets a gift, and we have confidence in that. Other times in the Bible, there was a need to pray for the Spirit, as in Acts 8, where the people had accepted the Word of God, so they believed, but they didn't know the Holy Spirit. They didn't know He existed. And that's important because that's part of seeking a closer walk. And I remember being a young believer, I didn't really know the Holy Spirit. I knew God, and I knew Jesus died for me. And someone prayed for me to understand the Holy Spirit. And it did happen at that time. I did receive the gift of tongues. But that wasn't it. It was God's Spirit that testified in my spirit that I was His, is what the incredible moment was. And the faith to believe that, to say, Lord, I believe You're in me now. And then to look for God to be evident was amazing, just in my prayer life, in the little nudges He gives me. I mean, the Holy Spirit is alive and active all the time. So the gifts are for service and God's good, but the Holy Spirit is our daily friend and partner that allows us to come to Jesus and to know Jesus' Spirit, because that's who it really is. So when they wanted in Acts 8 for these people to be prayed over, they just wanted them to know the Holy Spirit. They wanted to have that manifestation in their life, because they said, well, who is the Holy Spirit? So that was another area that it's mentioned, how it came upon people, and they were prayed over. So there's nothing wrong to ask for someone to pray over you that you want to see the Spirit in you, that you want to be filled with the Spirit. And just like activities, we need to be refueled. That's why we're up here. So it's just kind of like our energy when we're out and about in the day and we're busy and then all of a sudden we're hungry. Well, you know, the Spirit is like that too, where we are in God's will, we're doing God's work, but we need to keep coming back, keep being refreshed, keep being filled. So we do want to give people the opportunity just to pray about this specifically. In Acts 8:17, Peter and John place their hands on them and they receive the Holy Spirit. So we can pray for the revelation of the Holy Spirit in each of us. We can look for His manifestation. We can ask Him to reveal our gifts. There's just so much that God wants to do, but all of it needs to glorify God. Desiring and seeking a closer walk with the Lord often opens a person's heart to allow the Spirit to be seen and to see the service and to see it change, the changes in a person's life. Acts 5:32, we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him. So we do have a part to play. We have to be seeking God, and we have to be available to His Word. So terms like pouring out, received, baptized, given, filled, come upon, all demonstrate the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The idea is that we always need more. Remember the woman bleeding in the story for 12 years? She needed Jesus' touch. But even Jesus said He felt the power leave Him. So we need to be refilled with God's power. Jesus went away to be refilled with the Spirit of God. We so much more need to be filled with the Spirit of God. And in the power being available to us as we confess Christ as our Lord, we don't always see it. And we don't always know it's there to be able to access it. Jesus promised to send us the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, who would allow the disciples to do more than Jesus because He was going away. And I said that earlier, but I want us to be encouraged and also strengthened to know God has work for us to do. And that it's available, it's in us as believers. We need to keep praying about it. We need to keep seeking it. And in turn, at times, you know, pray with someone else, too. We need the strength of prayer. I think that's it. So, LaVon.
Hi.
Hi.
So I'm, like, totally nervous. Last year, it was a lot smaller group, but... thank God that that you two started ahead of me, because you really are gifted in that way of teaching, and I am not. You know what my experience has been, and I don't know what God has laid it on my heart to just let every one of you know, without a doubt, if you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit is within you, you can be used by God. God has something for you. There is no one in this room that cannot, and God is just waiting to use you and has something for you. You know, for many years I felt like, oh, God can't use me because of my decisions in the past, because of things that I've done, because of the lifestyle and the choices that I made. So even though I was a Christian and my walk really kind of wandered back and forth, I felt like I wasn't worthy. What do you mean? God's not going to use me, you know? And then on the flip side of that, on the other side, where I'm all that, and I have that ego going on. You know, I want to be the worship leader. I want to be the teacher. I want to be, when it all came down to, okay, well, what gifts do we want? Well, I want to be the star, you know? Well, but then, you know what? What's that? The glory's all goes to me. It's all about me. It's kind of like there's been a lot of that, the talk about how we're living today. Are we living in the kingdom? Are we living in the world? What's our focus? Is it me? Well, for the most part, my focus has been me. Me, for the most part, you know? And so I had that confusion that was being spoke about. You know, well, what's my gift? You know, hey, I want to be the leader of that, and I want to be that. Well, I'm not equipped, and that's just not, you know, who I am in Christ. And what I have found out, and I want all of you guys to know, is that the Holy Spirit has a plan that is, you'll know it as you're doing it. I found out that one of my gifts is comforting. I'm a great encourager. And I didn't even really know that until I just started. Have you ever been in a situation when you're talking to somebody, a friend perhaps, that's going through a hard time, or they're just sharing their guts with you, you know, and you respond and you're talking and then later think, what did I just say? I have no idea what just came out of my mouth, you know. But later they call you or they text you and say, I was so encouraged. Thank you so much. And you're like, wow, you know, well, that wasn't a me, you know. And that was just, you know, the Holy Spirit, because I actually humbled myself through me. You know, he is an awesome, awesome person, that Holy Spirit. And, you know, there's other things that I've learned by making myself available and stuff is that, you know, I'm a helper. I'm a helper. I'm good at helping people. Tell me what to do and I'll help you, you know. But it isn't one of those fantastic things. I'm not going to get up there and make the latest CD on Christian. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to be necessarily glorified. But, you know, God knows what he's doing. And he has a place for each and every one of you. So if everything that, you know, we're talking about seems like, whoa, kind of overwhelming, you know, am I going to have this gift, or, oh, I can't have that gift because I'm not good, blah, blah, blah. Oh, poo. You know what? Got to empty all that out. Just pray. Become willing. Surrender your heart. Change the focus. And you know what? God's going to enter in. The Holy Spirit will enter in, and it will flow out of you. And I just want everyone to know that, you know, we're all his children. We're heirs to the throne. And we don't even belong to this world to begin with. You know, so we are messengers, and you know, my life is constantly transformed, you know, by him, if I just kind of get out of the way. But you know what, we are all worthy, and yet we're unworthy, you know. But God's grace is sufficient for each and every one of us.
Well, I want to recap a minute here.
A few.
I want you to pull your list out that you got your hand up. I did not have the gift of editing. No, I had to confess at devotional time. I honestly looked over this twice. I'm just so bad about those kind of details. So when you see those, just go, oh, Sharon doesn't have the gift of editing. I edited this page and went, oh, I forgot that. So when you see that, I apologize. There is quite an extensive list here. I suggest, as you see at the top of your handout, the main passages, Just read through them, like a book. I'm just going to read these and let it sit with me for a while. And then take it as a study bug and go through each one and go through those scriptures and really look at what is this gift that God gives? What does it look like? Have I seen that anywhere exercised in the body? Do I have any desire in my heart? Is God pressing on me with that gift? And you'll know if you're like, I've never heard God's voice, or, you know, we say that, oh, I heard God, or, you know, all those things. I don't hear God go, hello. It's not like that. It's more like that pressing or that sense inside you, or like she said, words come out of you. Words much wiser than you. Those kinds of things. That inclination of, wow, I cannot resist this. I need to develop this. You will know. You will know. I promise you that. And he can't wait. He is just smiling that you're even sitting here. He cannot wait to pour this through you. It's not something that you have to... Oh, I need to tell a story because I have time. Because this is really important. She mentioned the whole thing about tongues. And I was in this experience, this was years and years ago, and my dad was with me, and I just miss him so much. But he was told that when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will receive the gift of tongues. And my father never received the gift of tongues, and that tripped him up so badly in his spiritual gift seeking. So I want to make sure that you don't go there, okay, about whatever gift, whether it's tongues or whatever. But because it was so highlighted in that arena, it really messed with his head. There is no one gift greater than another in the sense of the need in the moment when God is giving it, okay? So for him to just, and this was a wrong on his end too, to just go, no, God, I want this gift. Mm-hmm. And he drove hard. And I think when we do that, we miss what it is God wants to give. And then the body misses out. Okay? That's really important. I had to put that story in there. Okay. So in these, are there any gifts that you especially have questions about? Like, I do not understand this one. A hand went up. Shannon.
No, I crave for wisdom and discernment. And I haven't received those gifts yet, but maybe they never be. But you know, wisdom seems like one of those things that we should all have as we grow, and discernment should also be something that we should have. So do we all have a basic discernment or a basic wisdom, and this is above and beyond? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in James it says to ask for wisdom and that, and to ask it in faith, and God will give it abundantly. So it is available to us. When if you look at wisdom in this little handout, the last line, supernatural insight to speak forth the counsel of God's word as applicable to a situation, I think that is kind of the deciding factor. It's when you know it's beyond what you normally know, when you know God's used you in that very important moment. But we're to have wisdom all the time. We're to have God's truth and wisdom hidden in our hearts. And that's going to be given to us by God. But the gift is something that's obviously the Holy Spirit and not just us. And over time, studying God's word, you're going to have wisdom. You're going to have a lot of wisdom. You're going to pray for wisdom, and you're going to get it. I'm going to get it. So I think that's a little bit of a difference there.
The same thing, Shannon, is with faith. There's a gift of faith. Everybody here should be having some of that, right? But then you look at, like, George Mueller, and he was called out there to start these orphanages, and he never asked for money ever, and he just prayed and prayed, and God would show up with the milk truck that broke down out front for all the kids to eat that day. And so George Mueller received the gift of faith for what he was called to do.
Not a saving faith, which we all have.
Right, so you need to have that designation too.
Anybody else?
Corey.
Can you have a lot of different gifts offering at different times, not specifically this is one,
Absolutely. It is not about us. Remember, it's about the need of the body. And if you're sitting there like Isaiah did and said, I'm here, take me, he'll use you.
Billy Graham talks about in his book about that, and he says that the gifts are going to be given, and some people you're going to see more, and other people you may see a single gift, but it's all because it's the need in the moment, just like Sharon said, and that God's using it for His glory and our availability to the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's another piece we have, that we're listening and being quickened and responding.
Yes, it's huge. Being receptive and saying yes.
Don't ignore those nudges. Be talking to us.
Debbie, Kelly?
Could you expand a little on, it says there are two categories of gifts, speaking and serving in 1 Peter 4.
So yes, because you'll see like administrative gifts, teaching, pastoring, those kind of gifts are the speaking gifts. Mm-hmm. And then you have the gifts that are the helping gifts, service, those kinds of gifts are the ones that are the peripheral gifts. And they support one another like a team. So if you have the serving gifts are healthy and going on, then the teaching gifts have that foundation to do what they need to do. But if the helping gifts, the serving gifts aren't in place, then the teaching gifters are busy doing those, and it crumbles God's effectiveness in the body. So it's kind of in layers, and they support one another.
And Debbie Mann.
Debbie Mann? Could you clarify, like, the gift of tongues? As I understand it, you are not supposed to share in public unless there is an interpreter. So then, if there is no interpreter, what is the gift used for then? Just you personally, like, to speak in your mind? Because, I mean, like, I don't understand what I'm saying, because I don't have the gift of interpreting it. So then, you know what I'm asking?
Yes, I'm glad to do it. It's
a prayer language. It's your communication with God. It says the Holy Spirit knows what to pray when we don't even know what to pray, that His utterance will come forth. So there are times when we go to God and we just commune with Him, and in deep sorrow, in deep joy, there are moments when that gift is released and we're allowed to just give it to the Lord and enjoy that time with Him and allow that power to be released within us and just to be amazed at His glory and His goodness and to know that we've communicated Him way beyond in a supernatural way we don't understand. And so that is for His glory, but it's a very personal way. So if we have the gift of tongues and we use it in a group, it needs to be interpreted. Either we need to have the gift of interpretation also, or someone there should. And it says in the Word, if not, then we need to be quiet.
Mm-hmm. So to clarify that for people that have speaking in tongues, if you have that gift, do you feel the discernment at the time that there's somebody there to interpret? So if you're in the body and you feel like you're speaking tongues, do you feel certain that there's somebody there to interpret? Because you wouldn't speak if there's not somebody there to interpret.
There's a fine line there. I'm speaking out of sharing opinion right now, okay? There's a fine line, because if we over-calculate that, we won't speak it out.
Okay.
We have to have the faith that if God's going to do this in you, He's busy working the other end of it. Because He's a thorough God. Now, this is what can happen. I was in an afterglow once, and I was brand spanking new in the Lord. This is new to me. And
what's an afterglow?
A time when you're praying over people, they're going to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It is a time to be free in the Holy Spirit and allow people to speak in tongues and have interpretation. It's edifying of the body using the gifts, learning about using the gifts. And there was a person who spoke in tongues. And this seasoned, mature, spiritual woman sitting next to me said, grabbed my knee and said, Sharon, because she was mentoring me, Sharon, somebody has interpretation, and they're not speaking it out. And God gave her that, right? And I'm sitting there when they spoke that, the tongues, this thought, like, manifested itself in my brain. And I was thinking, huh. And I'm sitting there, right? And then all of a sudden she goes, she grabs me and we have to pray for the interpretation because somebody's sitting on it. So, okay. So I prayed with her, and I'll be doggone if somebody didn't speak out what was in my head. I was sitting on it. And I went, ooh. So I learned fast. Like, God takes care of business. So if somebody is not being faithful to the call and being disobedient, God goes, okay.
I was just going to share a similar situation, and I was in the church setting, and I felt the Holy Spirit speaking to me, and I went ahead and gave the tongues, and I waited, and I knew that somebody within the body had it, and it didn't, and so I asked the Lord to bring it back to me so that I can interpret, and he did, and after the service, one of the guys came up to me, he goes, oh my gosh, you speak my language. And I said, that wasn't me, that was the Lord. And he goes, what you told me was exactly what I needed to hear. Mm. And I just like froze, and I'm like, you know what? I said, once again, that was not me. I said, I cannot redo what took place. You know, I said, that was meant for you, you know, and just take it for what God's speaking to you. And he left and then never saw him ever again. But he was in that service during that time of shift. So, you know, I mean, it's kind of tricky because you have to, I mean, you really, really have to know that it's God speaking to you when you do that. Because sometimes, like you mentioned, I've been in service where the tongue is given and there is not an interpretation. And I know that the pastor has said, you know, either somebody wasn't obedient or that person was out of line.
And that is the responsibility of the overseer.
Right.
That if that happens, you have to be very clear on that.
Right.
Because the body, you want to take care of the body. Thank you for sharing, Marcia.
I think it's time for just doing the picture.
Oh, yeah.
Doing the question.
One more, Corey.
What about singing in tongues?
Singing in tongues.
Well,
that's a good one. Thanks for bringing that up. What I want to do is share a story about that, because again, we can see how God takes care of that. I would view that as personal prayer language, and that would be a time only ordained by God that he would unleash that the people in that room would all be in worship with that would be, you know. But I know of a situation where that went down, and a couple of people who were in that setting on the way there were like a little leery of the whole spiritual gifts thing, like, what is this, you know. And then they went in, and that happened, this beautiful singing. It's almost angelic. And everybody coming out of the room, it was a teaching, and then that happened. And when they were walking out of the room, everybody was saying, wow, that was so neat. Those people who were not ready for that did not hear it. Did not hear it.
Like they talked about it? And those people.
Everybody's talking about it like, what is that? What are you guys talking about?
So it was like God protected
God protected them
because,
of where they were at.
That was Teresa and I.
She knew that.
I just wasn't naming names. God takes care of his kids.